Chapter 16. Let's take a good squint at verse 15. And then I'm going to be like a crawdad. Folks from the south, you know what I'm talking about. You northern folks may call it a crayfish. They only know how to go backwards. So I'm going to be going backwards tonight from Revelation chapter 16 and verse 15. Jesus is speaking. And we had a behold a woman last night, and we've got another behold tonight. And Jesus is one of the two in the talking. He said, "Behold, I come." Well, that's good enough for me. I like to just stop right there. But we got a problem in this verse. And the problem is coming right up right now. I come, three words, as a thief. What a shocking, puzzling, bum-fuzzling thing for Jesus to say. I come as a thief. Does that jolt you? Does that curdle your blood? What a funny way for Jesus to announce his coming as a thief. That nearly sounds repulsive. Certainly to some folks it might be just downright disgusting. A thief. Can't you think any better term than that, Jesus? Why in the world would you say a thing like that? But he did. And I want you to know tonight, in him, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, he knew exactly what he was saying. He described it just like it is. If it had been different, he'd have told it different. He comes, notice it, he doesn't call himself a thief. And that's where we jump at conclusions and might just kind of make us kind of scooch up our nose a little bit and kind of raise our eyebrows somewhat. He said he comes as a thief. That means he's comparing his coming to that which is like and similar to a thief's coming. And let's hear what he has now further to say. Behold, I come as a thief, but blessed is he that watcheth. What else? And keepeth his garment. Why? Lest he walk naked. He's got garments. How in the world is he going to lose them? That's a problem right here, another problem. Lest he walk naked, he's got to keep his garments. Literally, it kind of sounds like, you better just watch and keep guard of yourself. Somebody's going to try to pull your clothes off. And obviously, the result of having your clothes stripped off you, they'd see your shame. Because it's a shame not to have clothes on. Amen. Well, let's move backwards now like a crawdad would. Over there to the third chapter of the very same book. Third chapter of the same book. And the Lord Jesus is speaking to the church of Sardis. And this is a church that had a name that it was living, but it was dead as a doornail. And Jesus said to him, "Be watchful." What else? Didn't that sound like what he said over there in that 16th chapter? Yeah, blessed is he who watches. Be watchful. What else? Strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. Here these folks had a death rattle in their throat. If you're ready to die, the death rattles are getting on them. You may not have too much experience of being on a death at people's bedside who are dying, but many times that does happen. And he says, "For I have not found thy works perfect before God." Kind of sounds like to me he wants our works right up to par. Perfect works. What else? Well, he said,
Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard. You did get, they did have something because they received it. And what you have heard, remember it. And then hold fast. What else? Repent. About half of the churches, Jesus in Revelation chapters 2 and 3 told them to repent of something. I don't know about you, but I've done more repenting since I've been saved than when I did get saved or even before. Amen. He even said to that first church of Ephesus, he said, repent and do the first works or else I'll remove the candlestick out of its place except you repent. He slapped that repent in there twice. Listen on it now. He said, oh, watch this. Now Jesus got his dander stirred up. If therefore thou shalt not watch, what'll happen, Jesus? I will come on thee, look at those three words again, as a thief. He said it again. Bad enough to say it once, and here he had to pour it on again. He must want this thing to run by us again. If you didn't get it the first time, he said, I'll bring her by you again. And say it again until it sticks. I'm coming as a thief. Some big double D, double LD preachers say, I think that's just a kind of a translator's error when he said it over there in the 16th chapter and 15th verse. But I'll declare he sure got a bunch of errors in there then. He said it again. There are no errors in the Word of God. It's just these boys don't understand what Jesus is saying, and so they have to blame the translators for what they don't understand. But Jesus, the Son of God, I'll tell you, there's nobody smarter than Him. He just says it just right. I'll show you in a little bit, because I found 10 ways in which Jesus is coming is compared beautifully to that like a thief's coming. Maybe more. I hope the Lord will show the rest of them to me. But at least I got 10. That ought to be enough to convince somebody that Jesus knew what he's talking about. Hear it now. I'll come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Don't that give you one tip right there? Do you know when a thief is coming? Well, you got one of the points right there. You won't know when I'm a-coming, but I'm a-coming anyhow. And then let's go as a crawdad backwards again to 1 Thessalonians. Now that's right on there, just a little piece after Colossians, you know. Colossians and then 1 and 2 Thessalonians. And then that 5th chapter, we got a lot of things that the Lord has to say in there. And you know what I like to do? I think it'd just be a blessing for us to start over there with verse 2 through 4. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh, and if we don't bump into that again, as a thief. You notice in each of these cases, there's an as in there. As a thief. Well, bless God forever. Brother Paul, Lord thumped you on the head and told you the same thing that Jesus has been saying in the Revelation. He thumped you on the head and said, tell them again how I'm a-coming. Kind of sound like it must be something important or he wouldn't repeat it so many times. It is important. He wouldn't have repeated so oft. And he says this, the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, now notice it now, they. Cue in on that. They shall say, peace and safety. Then sudden destruction cometh upon them. Say, we're not included in that. They and them don't refer to the people of God. It's referring to the sinners out there in this world. The ones that are not right with Almighty God. But when we get now to the saints of God, the picture changes. We'll pick that up in a minute. Then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail on a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. What does that tell us? If the they's and the them's won't escape, then the we's and the us's and the ours will. You see where I'm coming from? Look at the next verse. But ye, change the tune now. He talking to brethren. And it wouldn't even hurt to put cistern in there too. Amen. He said, ye are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. There's that as a thief again. Well, let's go back as a crawdad, way back yonder to the first book of the New Testament. Matthew chapter 24. In chapter 24, the Lord Jesus has had his apostles. At that time, they were just learners. They were disciples. They were just under Jesus, the master teacher. They were just learning the ways of the Lord. And they asked Jesus a big question. Jesus said, when Peter, James, and John, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Thaddeus, Simon, Saint James, and Judas decided to take Jesus on a tour. A big tour of the beautiful temple in Jerusalem. They were tour guides. And after they took Jesus to all of the beautiful buildings and brought him on the outside, he sat down and he said, you see all of these buildings? Let me tell you something about them. There isn't even going to be one stone left upon another. All of them are going to be tore down. And that, I mean this, they had to hold their uppers and lowers. They were shocked. Jesus, not one stone left on another of these beautiful buildings we've just been a-showing to you? That's what he said. And it's exactly what happened in 70 A.D., old Titus, Roman general, moved into the city with his armies, and they tore up Jack and plundered that place, tore down the walls. And I mean, there are no little dinky stones around there. It was no little job. If you've ever been to Jerusalem, and there are some of you who are here tonight that have, you'll know this, that those stones there are around a yard wide. And they're anywhere from 8 feet long to 12 and 15 feet long and about 2.5 feet thick. And that means that each one of those stones anywhere weighs from a half a ton to a ton or better. And the Lord Jesus rears back on his hind legs and said, not one stone's going to be left on another. All going to be tore down. And the disciples are so shocked that they said, Lord, when shall these things be? And then they ask a second question. And what shall be the sign of thy coming? And the third question. And of the end of the world. Three questions. Now Jesus goes to answering those questions for us in Matthew chapter 24 and in chapter 25. Now we come on over there to verse 43 and 44. But know this. If you don't know anything else, know this. What does he want us to know? If the good man of the house had known in what hour the thief would come, what would he do? He would have watched, of course, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Notice the comparison of a thief in the previous verse. You don't know when the old boys are coming. Sometimes they had even got the old girls now. Join that bunch of stealing stuff. Wouldn't used to be that way, but sure things have changed now. A lot of folks with sticky fingers. The Lord Jesus said this, that be ye also ready, Such an hour as you think not, just like the people didn't think the thief would come. He came anyhow because the thinker wasn't a thinking right. He said, you may be thinking wrong yourself and thinking that he isn't a coming. And thinking, Jesus said, that I'm not a coming, but I'm a coming in an hour that you think not. So your thinker's going to be off a course and off a track. I'm going to come just when you don't think I'm going to get there. And he even backs that thing up when he goes a little further on down the line, and he tells us this. He tells us about a man over there that he said, my Lord delayeth this coming. See, he didn't expect him. And my Lord delayeth this coming. Now, how did he begin to act? He began to eat and drink with a drunken. And that's bad enough. Professor, a religion professor, be a child of God. But he even began to beat the men servants and the maid servants. I mean, he just plumb backslidden. Anybody go to beating up on people and going to boozing it up, you know, and getting a gouging themselves and gorging themselves with food, you know that they're out of victory. And it says, and the Lord of that servant. Hey, he connected to the Lord some way. The Lord of that servant shall come in an hour when he looketh not for him, and at a day when he is not aware of, and will cut him asunder. That's heavy. Heavy. You find those words starting over there, verse 48 through 50. We won't deal with that, but the important thing tonight is this. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is telling us over and over again, behold, I come as a thief. It's not a mistake that the Word of God records it like this. It's exactly how Jesus is coming. His eyes focus in prophetic wonder at what it's going to be like when he bursts through the blue to take his church home. And notice, first of all, how a thief comes. He comes suddenly. Suddenly. And notice the Word of God now. I'd like to take you to a scripture that will kind of lay that open to you. If you went over there to Mark with me in chapter 13, verse 35 and 36, you're going to find Jesus said, watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming how? Suddenly he find you asleepin'. And to show you that it's going to be one of those quickies when he comes, over to Revelation with me now in chapter 22. Jesus hits it again and again and again, like you're driving a nail in the board and you didn't get it all the way down the first time. He tells us first in verse 7, behold, I come quickly, suddenly, and blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And then the second round over there in verse 12. Behold, I come quickly. And listen what he's got to say now. And my reward is with me. What for? To give every man as his work shall be. I like that. Nobody left out. And what next? Let's go over there to verse 20. Look like Jesus don't get tired of telling it, and I don't get tired of repeating him. He said in verse 20, behold, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Two times, behold, and the third time he just slaps the whammy on her. Surely I come quickly. Not only sure he's coming, but it's going to be all quick one. It's going to be so quick it's going to be in a twinkling of an eye. And I learned that that's 11 one-hundredths of a second. That's just pretty fast. So that's just the way that a thief comes. Just comes in there just suddenly, quickly. And then, notice, a thief comes secretly and unexpectedly. secretly and unexpectedly. He doesn't sound bells. He doesn't toot a horn. He doesn't rattle the rafters. He just comes secretly, and he comes suddenly, unexpectedly, unexpectedly, secretly. That's exactly the way that the Lord Jesus is going to come for his own. Nobody knows the day. Nobody knows the hour. Some have done a lot of speculating. Got a preacher right on up there, Pontiac, Michigan. He said, I got a revelation from God, and that the Lord Jesus is coming on September the 16th. And you know what happened to his church? The people began leaving that church. And I don't know how many of you ever heard of Dr. Leland L. Marion. One of you nods the head. Well, I see two of you know him. Well, that was the man that said that. And I want you to know he'd been a great preacher, a real man of God, and even been filled with the Holy Ghost. But he got a zeal, but not according to knowledge. He became, instead of a prophetic teacher, he became a pathetic teacher. Because he made a strong statement that Jesus is coming, and he said, folks, you don't have to worry about your bills to be paid. Forget them. You won't have to worry about anything. Jesus is coming and just going to take us on up there with him, and we're going to leave the whole business behind. So live it up and enjoy what you got while you got it. But he didn't come. And I mean, he was embarrassed. He was red-faced. And out of that, the church began to dwindle away. They lost confidence in their preacher. I was holding a revival meeting in Birmingham, and he said, would you come on up here and give me a boost? I thought, what would this old 2x4 preacher give that man a boost for? Why, he had enough alphabet soup after his name to choke an Arkansas cow. He a knowledgeable man, smart man. But I'll tell you, there's one thing about it, children of God. I may not have very much sense, but one thing about it, if you've got sense enough, amen, and just tell it like God said it and don't add anything to it and don't speculate with the Word of God. You can just stay on safe ground and on a sure course. Hallelujah. Now, if God tells me, I'll tell you. But Jesus said, no man means no man. That don't mean some. He said, no man knoweth the day or the hour. He tried to stick a day on there. Got messed up. Well, I went up there to hold a revival meeting. The first thing that happened, brother, sister, I mean, it happened. It started after the very first service. God gave me a message, I mean, that burnt the hide off of one man in that congregation. He was mad as a hornet. And he just went home fuming. I'll never forget. I can tell you his name. Starts letter T. I'll stop at that. And he went home and he told his wife, I'm getting my shooting iron out and I got one preacher I'm going to kill. And I'm going to get him today and I'm going to get his evangelist. He's after Dr. Marion for tipping him off, tipping me off about that man. And then he's going to get me for telling it. And he, sure enough, he went over there to the Marion's home there. His wife on his way over there was so scared that her preacher was going to die because he was frothing. I mean, he'd mad. I thought only dogs get that way, but he sure was. He went on over there, and so she called him up, and she said, my husband means business to get you and to put some daylight through you. I think you better move on out and clear out. And he did. Got on over there, and he couldn't find him. He demanded of her where he is at, and she said, well, I can't tell you because he didn't tell me when he left out. He said, where is that evangelist at? She said, well, he's over at the Day's home. Brother and Sister Day, that was the caretakers of the church at their home. So he said, I'm going over there after him. So she then called from there over to the Day's home and said, "You better get Brother Hendricks on out of there as fast as you can. He's a-coming." And on his way, some way or other, God Almighty, we started praying at the house. He said, "Brother Day," said, "where you want me to take you?" I said, "I'm staying here." Some of you will remember years ago, there was a man pulled up across the street in the parking lot. Brother Walden was here. He'd verify it because he's the one that warned me. A car pulled up in the parking lot over there, and the man had his shooting iron right next to him there, and he's fixing to get him a preacher and put daylight through him. And they lived over in 10 Mile Road. Does that give you a tip? You were there then? All right, so you know what I'm talking about. But I want you to know this, and Brother Wallen said, "You better get home and on out of here as quick as you can." I said, "No, I'm going to go out there to meet him." He said, "Brother Henry, that don't sound wise." I said, "Listen, I don't run. I don't run. God Almighty is going to protect me." And I went over there to the car and I said, "I understand that you're over here to see me." He said, "Yes, sir." And I said, "And what seems to be the problem?" He said, "I'm going to shoot you." And I said, "What for?" He said, "Because you took my wife away from the Catholic Church and you got her, you were here a prisoner in your church." I said, "Law me, come in and get your prisoner then." He said, "You mean I'm come in and get her?" I said, "Yeah, come in and get her. And I want to hear from her own mouth that I'm holding her prisoner. I want you to know that she's not shackled to this church nor to me, but to the Lord Jesus. She got born again, sir. She got saved from her sin. Don't you see a difference and a change in her life from what she used to be? Isn't she any different from the days gone by when she went to this other church?" "Yeah, she is different." I said, "What, aren't you glad about it?" He said, "Well, yeah, but the thing that makes me mad is," he said, "that's the only true church." "Well," I said, "if it's the only true church, you just tell her to go on back to the true church and leave this false one alone." He said, you mean that I can go ahead and tell her that?" I said, "You sure can." I said, "I'm not holding her." I said, "Jesus saved her and give you a brand new woman. You ought to be glad. And if you want to shoot me for helping her and introducing her to Jesus, well, you just go right ahead." Well, he said, "You got me out of the notion." Now I'm going back to Mr. T. For some way, God Almighty only knows how God did that, but he thumped that man on the head and he thought this: "This is one time I'm going to have some fun out of a preacher. I'm going to let him know in advance of my coming." He sure didn't come then as a thief, you can well see that. "I'm going to let him know in advance that I'm coming over there to shoot him, and I'd just like to see him get in his car and burn rubber and get on out of town. I mean, then I'll be through with him, run him out of town, then we won't have to be putting up with his running off his mouth and exposing me to the congregation." So he called me up. And he said, "I'm on my way over there to shoot you." I said, "Help yourself. But I want to find out from you why you're coming to do it." He said simply this. He said, "You exposed me to the congregation this morning." I said, "What did I say that exposed you?" He said, "You know what you said." I said, "I don't know you. If I'd have pick you out of 1,000 people, I couldn't pick you for nothing. I don't know you from Adam's apple." He said, "I don't know about that." He says, "I think you're lying." I said, "I want you to know this, that when I came to the church, I told your pastor, I don't want to hear anything bad about anybody in the church. If God don't show me what's in the secrets of their heart, I'm not going to take her second-handed. Check back with your preacher. I well know he'd addle out of town, but I said, check back with your preacher anyhow. And I said, I want you to know this, that what you heard was Almighty God exposing you. Now, these are the words that were said that really burnt him to a crisp. I said, you low-down cheapskate and sneak thief and scamp. When your foreman, your boss, is away from the job, you lay around and sleep half of the time on the job and get paid for sleeping instead of working. You're a thief. You're stealing from that company. And I want you to know this, you just seem to have an art of knowing about when the boss man's going to come, and you get woke up and you go to working up a storm and sweat a pouring off of your face, and your boss come in there and see the sweat a pouring off of you and say, man, look how that man's working so hard. I ought to give him a little extra raise. From head to toe, he'll not only fix your heart, he'll fix your mind. Amen. I mean, when that man prayed through, he put his arms around me and loved me. Well, that was quite a change from what happened just after the noon hour, after the lunch hour. But children of God, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, is coming as a thief. Suddenly, unexpectedly, secretly, and what's more, he said this about his coming, that he's going to come as a thief, and a thief comes quietly. He comes when people are sleeping. And if you read your Bible real good and careful, you go over there to 25th chapter of Matthew, and you'll find out that at midnight there was a cry made. Is that it in your Bible? At midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. He's going to come in the night time. He's going to come quietly. Jesus is going to come real quietly. The world won't know a thing about his coming. But only the believers and the saints of God will. So Jesus put it like this over there in Mark 13:35. He said, now, if I should come now at midnight, or at the cock crowing in the morning, find you sleeping, it's not going to be good for you. And then he furthermore said this over there in the book of Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. He said, knowing the time. What about the time, Lord? He said that it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. That's not the salvation of our soul. He's talking about we and us. It refers to the salvation of our bodies. You see, our souls are already saved, but our bodies are not redeemed yet. Our bodies are still under the curse. That's why they're going to die. And when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, in His glorious coming for His church, we're going to get a brand new body and have a redeemed body, a body that will never die, never get sick, never get tired, never grow old. Well, I'll say hallelujah. Yes, that's coming at the coming of the Lord. He said, now listen, it's high time to wake out of sleep, for now is the salvation nearer than when we first believed. Well, it was near for them back there. How much nearer is it now? Well, let's move on to another. Over there in the fifth chapter of 1 Thessalonians, going back there again. Therefore, let us not sleep. Us. That's the saints of God. He'd been talking about these and the thems, but he's given a different message to the we and the us's. That's the saints of God. Let us not sleep as do others. But what? Let us watch and be sober. That's sober-minded, not just necessarily dealing with booze. It means sober-minded, free from levity and foolishness and a lot of jesting business. All right, now notice, how does a thief come? A thief comes to take the valuable things out of your house. He don't come to get your garbage can. He sure won't come to get trash. He sure won't come by your house and spend a lot of time of fumbling around there to pick up that stuff that you've been accumulating for a rummage sale. He comes over there to get the best things you got. He comes to get your jewelry, get your money. Say, when I said jewelry, that reminds me. You go there to the book of Malachi now. Jesus said, I'm coming as a thief, because a thief comes to get the best of the stuff. And I want you to know, when Jesus comes, he's coming to get the best. Yeah, he's coming to get the jewels. Do you know that we're called jewels in that Bible? Sure is. Go to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16 to 17, and here's what he said, they that fear the Lord spake off one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought on his name. And notice these words now, and they shall be mine, the Lord said, when in that day when I make up my jewels. And I'll spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. The Lord's a-coming for his jewels to take them on home. Bless God forever. Thank God. Not the wastebasket, not the junk, but those precious saints of God washed in the blood of the Lamb, whom he has purchased with his own blood. You hear that? Do you know this, that the Lord owns everything in this world but us? Does that shock you? Why did he have to purchase us with his blood if he owned us? He owned everything else but us. Adam sold us down the river, sold us into the devil's pawn shop, and the Lord had to redeem us out of the devil's pawn shop. That's why we were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold, but with the blood of Jesus. Purchase us out of the devil's pawn shop. We couldn't get out of there. And if you're unsaved here tonight, listen, you're hooked. You're in the devil's pawn shop. There's a mortgage on your soul. Every sin you've ever committed, gonna have to pay on payday. The wages of sin is death or separation from God. Sin pays wages. I want you to know that. Every sin you commit, I tell you, the devil's got a greater mortgage on your soul. But to think that Jesus, of all the sins that you and I have ever committed, Jesus Christ paid the penalty. He purchased us with his own blood. Ye are bought with the price. Hallelujah. Glorify him in your body and spirit, which are God's. He said, you're bought with a price, therefore be not the servants of men, in 1 Corinthians 50 and 7 and verse 23. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. He said, therefore, since you've been bought with a price, glorify God how? In your body. And in your spirit, that fellow lives inside of that body, which are God's. It wasn't God's until he purchased them. Let's move on a little further now. And notice this. A thief leaves more than he takes. He isn't going to get himself all bogged down with all kinds of unnecessary. So he's going to have to get out of there as quick as he came. He's going to load himself down with non-essentials. He's going to just take the best. And I mean, he's going to leave a lot more than he takes. Listen at this now. This is something else. When I go to searching that Bible out and I find out Jesus said, enter in ye at the straight gate, for many shall seek to enter and shall not be able. The straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and how many find it? Few there be that find it. Comparative, few there be that find it. He said this, there. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. He said, many are called, but few are chosen, and even fewer frozen. But, oh Lord, he gonna come leaving more than he took, you might arrive. Compare the people of God that are saved from the people that are not saved. You can well see that. Well, children of God, you can see when Jesus sure knew what he was talking about when he said he's coming as a thief. That fits right on in there. Well, let's move a little bit further down the line there, and I want to notice this. A thief only makes a brief, temporary appearance. Oh, hold your uppers and lowers on this one now. I'm moving into something. I just wish those who believe in the mid-tribulation and the post-tribulation coming of Jesus will hear this now. I mean, this is going to really put a blockbuster in their doctrine. I mean, it's going to blow her up. Notice it now. A thief only makes a temporary appearance and then leaves. Is that correct? He sure don't linger and hang around and flirt with the people in the house. Sit down, have a meal. I mean, he just skedaddles out of there as quick as he can get. He makes a temporary coming. Well, we got some real knowledgeable and educated folks here tonight and say, now, Brother Hendricks, you know, if that's the way Jesus is coming as a thief and the way you've been trying to show us here tonight, you know, that messes me up. How so? Well, go there to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7, and it says this about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says this, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Well, if he's a coming with clouds and everybody's going to see him, that don't fit into your thief picture. Well, it sure don't. And what's more, there's something else in there. That passage of Scripture cannot refer to his coming for his church. Why? Well, read the rest of it. Does it tell us what? There's a reaction of the people. Brother Mike, what is the reaction of the people when he comes in the clouds? If he's a coming for his bride, the church, and gets this kind of a reception from her, as the strangest bride I have ever seen in my put together. What are the people going to do? Read it. All of them are going to wail. Who ever heard of a bride wailing when the bridegroom comes? You ladies have been married. Did you wail when you stood up there before that altar? With your bridegroom? You know better than that. That don't fit the bill. I want you to know when Jesus comes for his church in the first phase of his coming, he's coming as a thief, but when he comes in the second stage of his coming, he comes then when every eye shall see him and all the world beholding him are going to have a mourning time. Why are they going to mourn when they see in those hands the nail prints and the face that have been marred more than that of any other man and see the nail prints in his side? They said, oh, how did we ever miss it? How could we have been deceived by the lying doctrines of men? And they cheated us and robbed us out of being with Jesus up there in heaven and told us it wasn't so. Children of God, he's coming for his church as a thief, just like he said. In this phase of his coming, I want you to know good news. Hear it! We're going to be with him. When he comes in the clouds of glory. Hallelujah! We'll be with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords when he comes to put Antichrist out of business. Hallelujah. When he comes down here to right the wrongs on this earth, when he comes to straighten up all of the things that they messed up, because they're going to have a lot of war and a lot of desolation. Things are going to be in shambles around here, but it's going to get all fixed up. What's more than that? Bless God. I begin to look at some of the folks here tonight and I say, he's going to make kings and priests out of us. Lord have mercy, kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. It's a shall. He says, reign. Where? On the earth. I got a letter one day from a feller up there in northern Canada, and he said, I read your book. He didn't realize, the book was written, Rex Hummard was the one that did the printing of it, but it came from our office and about the second coming of Jesus. And he said, I'll give you $1,000 if you can prove to me anywhere that we're going to reign on the earth. Oh, I like that. So they sent the letter to my office, and they said, answer the man. You're the one that wrote the book. I said, all right. I wrote him back again, and I said, will you go over there to the book of Revelation in chapter 5 and verse 11, and please send my $1,000. I hadn't heard from that dude since. Lord have mercy. I want you to know that we're going to rule and reign with Jesus, the Son of God. If we suffer with him, we're going to reign with him. If we deny him, he'll also deny us. But he's a coming with power and great glory. Hallelujah. And all of his saints with him. And going to appoint his saints to be over cities and over governments and over nations to rule and reign with him. I mean, not overnight. We don't have to worry about the time clock. 1,000 years is not a short speck of time. 1,000 years reigning with Jesus. Listen, children of God, to reign with the Son of God, it means that we got to be ready to go. I'll be moving into that directly. But now notice something else about a thief. A thief not only comes just for a little old bit, and then he just moves on out, temporary appearance. But I want you to know this, that when a thief comes here in the natural world now, a thief comes in the natural world here, there's some dangers connected with his coming. You know what I mean, don't you? He can really do some bad things and disastrous and destructive things, and people are afraid of a thief for what he might do. There's danger connected with the coming of the thief. And I want you to know there's going to be some busting up of things when Jesus comes. There's some dangers connected with Jesus' coming, and when he comes as a thief, what danger would it be? Well, look at your house tonight. Jesus said her like this, two shall be in the field. One taken, the other left. Two shall be grinding at the mill. Two women are grinding at the mill. One taken and the other left. Bust up that relationship. Bust up that relationship. Two shall be in a bed. One's going to be taken and the other one left. That house can get busted up. By the folks that are taken and the other ones who are left, the house is going to be broke up that way. So that's when Jesus gave us in Matthew 24, he said, if the good man of the house would have known at what hour the thief would come, he'd have watched and not suffered his house to be broken up. Do you see that there? All right. Now look, children of God, do you love your family? Really love them? Let's be sure that everyone's in the fold and in the family. Let's be sure that everybody is living right. Because only those that are ready are going in with him to the marriage, and the door will be shut. Amen. That's kind of sobering us up a little bit. I can see that. You're taking it to heart. You're taking it home. That's good. Now let me go a little further. Oftentimes a thief comes. This is now number 8. He's coming in disguise. Sometimes they put on a stocking cap. Sometimes they wear a woman's hose. They kind of put that over there and cut a couple holes in there just to disguise their face.
Sometimes they'll wear one of these old knit caps and pull it on down over there and have a couple holes in there, and so they can't identify their face. They come disguised. Sometimes they even wear a mask, kind of like a Halloween mask. Well, how does that ever fit into the coming of Jesus? Just perfectly. Well, how so? When Jesus comes, you're going to be coming disguised from the world. How did he leave out of here, please, ma'am, thank you? How did he leave out of here? The scripture says, a cloud received him out of their sight. In Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. And how is he going to come then? This same Jesus which was taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. If he left with clouds, he's coming with clouds. And the word of the Lord says in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4 and verse 17, and we that are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the clouds. Clouds, right there it is. Clouds! Disguised from the world. And do you know this? This might just kind of surprise some of you. You remember when those old Russian astronauts were flying around with their first Sputnik around up there in the heavens, and they said, we don't see any heaven up here for the dumb bunnies. Of course they can't see heaven. If they'd have read the Bible, they'd have had more sense than to come up with that. If you go to the book of Job in chapter 26, and God says that he covers his heaven with a cloud so people can't peek in up there. Woo! He got that thing just right. Children of God, the Lord's are coming then in clouds. Well, now notice this. Number 9. When a thief comes, does he take things? You might have right, he takes. Note that word take. And observe this. When you go there to Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, and it says this, that Jesus was taken up into heaven. Well, that just kind of fits in there right nice. Because when a thief takes and Jesus was taken, who took him? I say the same one that took him is going to take us. Hallowed be the name of the Lord. Didn't it say the two be in a bed, one taken? Didn't it say that taken? Why, sure. Two at the mill, one taken. Two in the field, one taken. Your mighty right is taken, taken, taken. Thief takes. The Lord knew his business when he described his coming as a thief. Well, let's hold on now to the last one. When a thief gets what he's got and has taken all that he wants, what does he do? He skedaddles it out of there and goes to a secret of places he can find that nobody can get him. Oh, do you hear where I'm going right now? When the Lord Jesus comes as a thief, he's not a thief, but he comes as one, he's going to take us where nobody can get us, including the devil. Well, I say hallelujah. He's going to take us up there to heaven to forever be with the Lord, our wonderful Savior. What's more than that, he's going to not only take us from this world full of sin and shame and sorrow, but he's going to take us from going through the tribulation. I say hallelujah to you, Jesus. You just timed it good. Antichrist now appears on the scene and he just all of a sudden, zip, we're gone. Right on out of here. That's going to make him froth at the mouth and chew the bits. If you don't believe that, you go there to the book of Revelation chapter 13 and you're going to find out that, Brother Mike, would you read that to us? In Revelation chapter 13, I mean the devil's mad as a hornet. And how mad at those, go to reading in there where it says about them that are in heaven. After about the starting over there about the 5th, 6th verse, right on there, and you're going to find out that he just gets hopping mad because he can't strike at the saints of God. He can't tempt us anymore. He can't oppress us anymore. We're up there in the glory world. And he's dealing with, and them that dwell in heaven. The them is us. That's why I want to hear about that. You find it? Yeah, I'm not interested about those on the earth. I want to get those up there in heaven. But read on in there. Anybody else find it? 6. Let's hear it. Come on. Blaspheme God, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. Well, just keep a spewing it off, old devil. It ain't going to do you any good. You can't hurt us now. Hallelujah, we made the landing. Safe and sound through the blood of the Lamb. Bless God forever. And the Lord Jesus said, now, since he's coming as a thief, suddenly and unexpectedly, and he's coming to take his jewels, he said, and now listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 24:44. Therefore be ye also ready. Did you notice it says that be in there? He didn't say get ready. You're supposed to already be ready. But he said, now when he says be ready, that means stay ready when you got ready. Don't lose any ground. You got to stay in there. You got cleaned up, stay clean. You got right, stay right. Amen. You got washed, stay clean. Be ready. Want to know then what constitutes being ready? Well, Brother Mike, it's 8:30. I don't know about these children, but I got another half hour to go, and that'll kind of put us a little late, but can I just give it to you in condensed milk? Amen. I'm supposed to give you the sincere milk of the Word, but we haven't got the time, so I'll have to condense it a little bit. All right. And we're going down there now. What constitutes being ready? We'll go back over there to our text. It says, blessed he that watcheth and keepeth his garments. Watcheth and keepeth his garments constitutes being ready. Two things. I got to be watching for the Lord's coming. That means I got to keep living in expectation of his return. If I really believe his word when he said to be ready, and I believe his word when he said, watch and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things. There is an escape. There is escape only for the worthy. And he tells us in his word then that you'll be able to stand before the Son of Man. We got to be ready to go when the Lord comes. And keep this garment. That literally means keep him clean. How do we know? Well, if I just throw a little extra tidbit in here, there in this is, blessed is he that watcheth. Do you know there's 7 blesseds in Revelation? 7 blesseds in there. That's that perfect number. And then in the first chapter, in verse 3, is blessed he that readeth. And over in the 14th chapter, 13 verses, those who have died. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. And then right in the text that we have tonight, blessed is he that watcheth. And then you're going over there to the 19th chapter, blessed are they that are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then over there in the 20th chapter, verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. And then over there in chapter 22 and verse 7, blessed is he that keep the sayings of this book. And then the last blessed is in 14th verse, blessed are they do his commandments. What for? That they may have a right to the tree of life and enter in through the gates into the city of God. I'm kind of going in overdrive tonight, so pardon me for those who are trying to write it down. Move on a little further now. Notice this now, when the Lord told us about being watching for his coming, watching means looking too, doesn't it? Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Well, what about those who are not looking for him? It must be important to look, or he wouldn't have told us to look. He said, our conversation in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies. Hallowed be his name. And then he says over there in the book of Hebrews chapter 9, 28, he said, unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. It means without a sin offering unto salvation. And notice the last word is what I want to linger with for just a moment now. And keepeth his garments. Now to show you what that really means, this really, it means to keep the garments clean, to keep them white. Well, how do we know? Go to Ecclesiastes 9:8, and he said this, "Let your garments be always white." That don't mean for you ladies now to only wear white dresses, and we men to wear a white suit. When he keep your garments, he's referring to the garments that Jesus gave us when we got saved. And those salvation garments, he said in Isaiah 61 and 10, he said this, "I will rejoice in the Lord, but joy for my God, because he clothed me with the garments of salvation. He had covered me with a robe of righteousness." Those two, got to keep them white. And that's why he said, "Now you will keep your garments." That means keep them clean, lest you walk naked. Should you get them dirty, then you see you lose them. You ladies know this about clothes. If you don't wash dirty clothes, the dirt in there will deteriorate the material. And it'll rot it. All right now. And to show you then, there are a number of verses I'd like to give to you. Like the Lord says that I will clothe you with a robe. Over there in Isaiah chapter 22, 21. And then a warning to those who try to get on some phony clothes. They try to get their own garment on that the Lord didn't provide them. And that's in Isaiah 30 and 1. He said, "Woe be unto them that ask counsel and take counsel, but not of me, and that cover themselves with a covering, not of my spirit." The Holy Ghost is the one that covers you with a robe of righteousness and the garments of salvation. And he gives a woe to those who try to bluff their way through and try to sneak their way in with their own kind of covering of self-righteous rags. All of our righteousness are as filthy rags in his sight. They won't pass the inspection. And then the last scripture is in dear book of James in chapter 1, 27, and he says this, that pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, visiting the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and keep yourselves unspotted from the world. There it is, children. God, keep clean, and you'll be ready when Jesus comes. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Lord, there are those here tonight who haven't had a bath in a long while in the blood, haven't been washed from their sins and their filthiness. And your word said the blood cleanses us from all sin. And there are those, Lord, who need to wash the robes and make them white in the blood of the Lamb. You said in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9, there are a bunch of folks that came up out of the tribulation and had to do it. And the reason they had to go through tribulation because they didn't have them clean when you came. And Lord, I pray tonight that we'll get our garments clean, our spiritual garments of salvation cleaned up tonight as we come through the humble root of the altar of prayer and lowliness of heart before you and trust in the blood for our cleansing. Lord, we used to sing the song, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus."